This is the Drive Podcast with Josh Graham.
Now you're talking my language.
You can hear the Drive weekday afternoons, 3 till 6 on WSJS.
Welcome to a Wednesday Drive. It is WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad, where later this hour, at around 3:35, we are going to play Weekly Positivity, and when we do, we'll be giving away a pair of tickets. No, make it two pairs of tickets to Wake Forest Duke Saturday afternoon. But before we push things ahead to this weekend, we must talk about how great last night was for the Demon Deacons. In a game Wake absolutely had to have, it beat Pittsburgh by 33 points. And in doing so, the Deacs have complete control of their postseason destiny, no matter what Joe Lenardi says today. They're in complete control, and that's all you can ask for with five games to go in the regular season. Right now, when you look at the ACC standings, Wake is currently all alone for fourth in the ACC. Wake beat down Pitt, splitting the season series with Jeff Capel's team. NC State in Raleigh lost at home to Syracuse. Going into the night, or into last night, the Pack was tied with Wake and Pitt for the fourth spot. So Wake stands alone for number four, which is significant because, obviously, the top four teams in the ACC tournament get double byes in D.C., which Steve Forbes, when I asked him about it last night, said was absolutely a priority for them, getting the double bye.
It's a great feeling. You want to control your own destiny, right, especially this time of year. I didn't know NC State lost. I think, again, we talked about this the other day, Josh, about putting, you know, don't put the cart ahead of the horse. Let's go for the double bye. You know, our fans want to, they want to win the ACC tournament. We want to win the, you know, we want to win that thing. We want to be a factor. And to do that, it's the best way is to get the double bye. And then I think that leads to other things after that.
Like maybe making the NCAA tournament. In order to do that, you need to look good in the net. We've learned winning games by a lot of points helps in the net. WD, Wake Forest was 40th in the net going into last night. Take a guess how many points or how many spots they jumped up in the net after beating Pitt by 33.
I'm just going to guess 35, or they're up to 35.
They're up to 26.
Not, geez.
14 spots. And who do you got next? A guaranteed quad one game in Duke. Duke's top 10 in the AP poll, top 20 in the net. The Deacs are getting them at Joel Coliseum, where they are now 14-0. This season, Wake Forest has five ACC wins at home by 19 or more. And the crowd should be amazing. Mitch Shaw, you'd be hard-pressed to find somebody who loves the Deacs more than him. He came up to me at halftime and he said, Josh, and he's put this on social media since then, the first 10,000 fans in the building Saturday will get tie-dye t-shirts. I'm buying tie-dye t-shirts for the first 10,000 fans that show up. The NC State game a couple of weeks ago, and the Pack, not ranked, drew over 12,500 fans at Joel Coliseum. It was the second largest crowd of Steve Forbes' tenure so far. 2 o'clock on Saturday, Wake Forest likely going to top that. It might be the biggest crowd Steve Forbes has had since taking the job. It's a huge opportunity. If Wake wins its remaining home games, that should be enough. But that starts with Duke, and Steve Forbes, he didn't make it about quads. He's done with that, but did say it is not going to be hard to get his team up with that team coming into your building.
I don't put the quad thing on the players. It's just Duke. You know, they're not, they get it. It's just like the other day I asked me about, I said, it's Virginia, okay? I don't label those teams like that. And it'll be a great environment.
Man, Steve Forbes is a history guy. So if I were to ask him when he joins the show, maybe next Monday, he's been popping in each week during the season or most weeks, and I asked him where our nation was founded, like where is Jamestown located?
It's Virginia.
Where did my wife, Sarah Bradford, go to school?
It's Virginia.
Like, I like the way he says things sometimes. If Wake just wins its home games, I think that'll be enough. Three of the last five games are at the Joel. Clemson could be a quad one win too. That would give Wake 20 wins, and they'd be 12-8 in the ACC. And that's assuming Wake loses its two other road games. At Virginia Tech will be tough, but going to Notre Dame next Tuesday? Like, that's assuming you lose those two games when you get home. If Wake wins one of those two and you're 4-1 the rest of the way, then 21 wins, it's going to be hard to leave that team out of the tournament. Wake has complete control of its postseason destiny with five games left to go in the regular season. You can reach out to the show on X at WSJS Radio or give us a call, 336-777-1600. That is the phone number to save. When we give away Wake Duke tickets later this hour, Will Dalton, the executive producer of this show. Let me make sure your buttons are working over there. Connor O'Neill is going to join us in studio later this afternoon. The sixth man of Tar Heel basketball, B-Dot, will drop by as well.
Six.
Around 5:35. Make sure you're around for that. Yesterday, The Athletic named Brian Burns the number one potential free agent in the NFL this offseason. And today, The Athletic's Joe Person provided an update on where negotiations currently stand between the Panthers and Burns. In short, it doesn't seem like the two sides are close to hammering out an extension, which means a franchise tag for Burns is becoming an inevitability, and this is why. This is the newsworthy piece to come out of it. Joe reported that Burns turned down a 5-year extension last summer that would pay him an average of $27 million per year. How much is $27 million? That would have him tied for third in the NFL right now among edge rushers. The only players who are making more than $27 million a year as an edge rusher, their names, Nick Bosa and TJ Watt. Brian Burns turned that down, and that was before the season started. 27, that might not be on the table anymore because Burns' production, it dipped a little bit this past year. The tag would buy the Panthers some more time. The tag would keep their options more open. Carolina, they haven't used the franchise tag in 3 years. 2021 was the last time. That was for Taylor Moten. And later that year, before the regular season started, they hammered out an extension with Timo. Carolina's hoping the same thing will happen here with Brian Burns. And if they can't get something done, but still attach the tag to him, there will be teams lining up to add a 25-year-old at a premium position that once the Rams offered two first-round draft picks and a second-round draft pick for. You can get at least a first for Brian Burns, even if you have to hammer out an extension with him upon trading for Burns. The tag buys you some more time. Teams can start. Yesterday was the first day that teams could start applying the franchise tag to guys, and you have until March 5th to do so. That's the deadline for applying the franchise tag. In the meantime, while Burns and the tag feel like an inevitability, Carolina needs to take care of Frankie Louvu and Derrick Brown. Louvu is a free agent. Brown's entering the final year of his rookie deal. He's the best player on this defense. He might be the best player on the team altogether. And fortunately, when you look at the Panthers' salary cap situation, they've got plenty of money to sign those guys. The Panthers were a top five defense last year. You brought Ajiro Evero back. You're going to want to maintain that. They're not going to let Brian Burns just walk out. They're going to offer him a ton, hopefully get that figured out after applying the franchise tag likely. Derrick Brown, they should have no problems extending him. Frankie Louvu, we'll see if he wants to test the market in free agency, but really, Louvu and Burns are the only two free agents Carolina absolutely positively need to sign. They have enough salary cap space to take care of those guys. You have Brant Tillis, who's great at manipulating the cap, and a lot of options to create more space financially with the cap, with restructuring of deals, and the cap is going up this year by a few million dollars, too. That should give Carolina some flexibility, too. Carolina should prioritize that defensive core. I think they're going to, and I think it's going to start with attaching the franchise tag to Brian Burns and buying them some time.
The Drive with Josh Graham, only on WSJS.
The first two people to call in right now and tell us something good get tickets to a game that could be sold out Saturday. Duke, Wake Forest, 2 o'clock tip at Joel Coliseum. But I'm going to add a stipulation. The good thing can't be that you're receiving tickets. You got to tell us something else. We get it. It is good to get tickets to Wake Forest and Duke, but that can't be your good thing. This would qualify for weekly positivity. WD and myself's favorite comic going right now is Shane Gillis. And Shane Gillis has been blowing up. He's been on Joe Rogan's show. He's on Netflix. Just had a special drop in the last last month or so. And last night, he announced some new tour dates. And one of those tour dates is going to be in Greensboro in June. So WD and I, pretty excited about that. Shane Gillis hosting SNL this weekend. If you don't know who he is, a big part of his story was being hired on SNL's cast about 5 years ago. And a day later, he was fired because they found a joke that he made like years before on a podcast that they said was a bridge too far. And they let him go. Now they're bringing him back to host the show. There's a very Norm MacDonald-like element to it. It's the most excited I've been to watch that show since Eddie came on a few years ago. But Shane Gillis hosting SNL this week. Shane Gillis coming to Greensboro in June. And that's good. Let's see what else is good. Right now in Weekly Positivity. Oh, yeah. Excuse me while I whip this thing out. WD is going to watch Blazing Saddles for the first time next week. We learned that yesterday.
Wow.
50-year anniversary of Blazing Saddles. And let me start with this being good. Weekly Positivity brought to you by our friends at Biscuit King.
Biscuits.
Happy birthday belatedly to Mark Lowder at Biscuit King. We love their biscuits and the people that prepare said biscuits.
Biscuits.
So happy belated birthday to Mark Lowder at Biscuit King. Let's go to Tim, who is in Wilson. Tim, tell me something good.
Something good is that when Wake beats Duke on Saturday, they're going to be really close to punching their ticket to the NCAA tournament this year.
Are you? That would be good. Wow, very loud. Tim,
it's been a long time.
So you are in Wilson right now? I have that right?
That's right. Yep.
Fun fact about Wilson, who, where I'm from, people call it Wilson.
Wilson.
WD knows that. WD knows this about me, and my wife certainly knows this too. Being that I've driven past Wilson so many times on my way to Greenville, America, where I went to school, every time we drive past the exit, I will roll down the window and yell out the window, "Wilson!
Wilson!
I'm sorry! I'm sorry!" Every single time. Tim, for you having to sit through that story, you are going to Wake Forest Duke. How's that sound?
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
Stay on hold so WD can get your information. WD, tell me something good with you.
So yesterday, as I was on my way to the gym after work, I stopped by a Goodwill.
A Goodwill?
A good... I did not plan that. A Goodwill.
Capitalism.
Capitalism was partaken in because I found a handful of really good drivers, like Callaway, TaylorMade, like good drivers. $2 a piece. I'm going to clean up on those drivers.
How much are you going to sell them for?
I mean, at minimum, maybe $10 a driver if I just took it to play it against sports. But if I sold it on eBay, I could probably make more than that.
That's good. Wow. Have you been to the Goodwill right next to the Joel?
That might have been where I got them from.
Oh, wow. Let's go to Steve, who's in Winston-Salem. Hi, Steve.
Good afternoon, Josh.
Oh, that's such a pleasant way to start a conversation. Good afternoon. Good evening. See, is this me being dumb? Before I get to the good thing that you have, I've actually recently learned that evening is different than night. Like, I used to think those things were synonymous, but apparently evening is between afternoon and night for some. So it's like between like 6 p.m. to like 8 p.m. and then 8 p.m. is at night. So I'd been doing it all wrong.
Wow. I've been doing it all wrong too.
Oh, well, I'm glad I'm not alone on that, Steve. Tell me something good.
What's good is I just picked up my retirement present, a 2023 Jeep Grand Cherokee I'm riding around in.
Wow, you're in it right now? How's it smell?
I'm in it right now. Absolutely wonderful.
It is a wonderful smell. I got a new car about a year and a half ago, and that smell stayed there for about 3 months, maybe four, and it's a great 3 or 4 months. So where's the first place you drove in it to? Where did you take it?
I've just been riding all over Winston-Salem, listening to your show.
All right. Well, keep it locked in to AM 600 or 101.5 and enjoy the basketball game on Saturday between the Demon Deacons and the Blue Devils. How about that?
Thank you, Josh.
There you go. That's Steve in Winston-Salem.
Wow.
This segment just gives me the warm fuzzies.
It does.
Every single time we play it. And brought to you by Biscuit King.
Biscuits.
That's been Weekly Positivity. WD, you tell the people. When you run into listeners of the show, or viewers of the show now, how, like percentage-wise, how often does Weekly Positivity come up?
It's like 90%, maybe 95%. Like when I ask them, what's your favorite segment? It's gotten to the point now where I'm like, yeah, I know what they're going to say. And they do.
Shout out to a listener yesterday, Andy, who came to the studio and said, Weekly Positivity. It's my favorite thing. Apparently their kids like Weekly Positivity as well. And how could you not? Especially if you're, you know, Steve or forget the name of the guy calling from Wilson. Who get to win Duke and Wake Forest tickets.
The Drive with Josh Graham, only on WSJS.
Connor O'Neill continuing with us. Got to the Deacon side of the story. The Blue Devils are in action tonight against Miami. You can listen to the game on WSJS. Duke visiting the Joel Saturday at 2 o'clock. This was something Randolph Childress and I were talking about a little bit yesterday. But how good is Duke? Let's break this down piece by piece. Could they be? I get they actually have a strong chance of finishing number one in the ACC standings. Could they be the best team in this league?
Yes.
Is this team better than last year's team?
Ooh, God, it's such a polar opposite because this year's team can score so well
and defense is where they need to piece some things together to be decent. And last year was a complete opposite. Like, defense, I mean, that team...
This team doesn't have Derek Lively.
Right.
But last year's team didn't have Jared McCain.
Jared McCain. Yeah, I mean, it's perfect.
So
I don't know. Like, parts yes and parts no. I'm kind of even 50-50 on that.
So they're just as good as they were last year.
Yeah, and I can go there.
It could have been a Final Four team if Mark Mitchell doesn't miss his first game of the year against Tennessee in the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, like, the seed line and the early exit really cloud you from seeing how well that team was playing at the end of the year.
They've won in Greensboro.
They've got a banner for an ACC tournament championship to show you.
They wouldn't have had to run into Purdue because Florida Atlantic Fairleigh Dickinson won in the 16-1. You would have been facing FAU if you got past Tennessee at that point. But I think it might surprise a lot of people that Duke is currently higher in the AP poll than North Carolina is. And if they win tonight, they're dead even with Carolina. And they have the home game, obviously, at the end of the year. Yeah. And they have a home game against Virginia in a week.
Carolina has to go to Charlottesville.
And has to go to Duke. So that's interesting. Randolph Childress believes Jeremy Roach is the best player on Duke. He believes, and I give his opinion a lot of credence. I give him a lot of credence for his basketball thoughts. He thinks that Kyle Filipowski is probably a first-team All-ACC guy. Does not think Jared McCain's the best player on Duke. I do, because I think he's the most consistent player and does the most things for Duke. Who do you think the best player on this team is?
See, are you playing devil's advocate when you're disagreeing with two people?
Tell me that Mark Mitchell's the best player on this team.
Oh, I love Mark. That's
your guy.
You want to quote my Mark Mitchell double-digit tracker, 29-3 when he hits 10 or more? No, I think
I will give you he might be the most important player on Duke.
He probably is. I go with Filipowski. I go with you gotta evaluate your expectations versus what he's been. And so if you are beholden to what you thought going into the season that he was going to be a first team All-American, possible national player of the year, double averaging player, then yeah, you think he's been a disappointment this year. If you went into it knowing that he missed most of the summer because he had both hips resurfaced.
And you don't have Derek Lively that you're playing next to.
You don't have Derek Lively. He's playing the five for the first time in his life. That's something that I wish people talked about more, that he grew up with a twin who played the five position so he could play the four. And then he played with Derek Lively, who is a really good five in the NBA right now. Mm-hmm. So, and Kyle Filipowski, like, there's so many two-edged swords to this. Kyle Filipowski should have wanted to play the five this year because that's what the NBA wanted to see from him after last year. Like, you can't be a seven-footer and play the four in the NBA and be a 29% three-point shooter. So he needed to play the five to justify them looking at him like a lottery or top 20 pick. So it's just, but I go to, okay, if you're disappointed based on the preseason expectations, that's fine. I go to what he's been, and what he's been is the guy that everything offensively runs through for Duke. He's been a decent rim protector. Like, he's not Norchad Omir. He's not Quentin Post is good defensively. He's not one of those guys, but he is good in the post. He was bad against Carolina. And unfortunately, when you're at Duke, that's the game that everybody's going to hold through a prism. But he's been decent in the post at times.
One of my favorite things about ACC basketball, and we're probably going to see less of it because of more teams being added this next year with Cal, Stanford, and SMU, is the second game of head-to-heads. Oh, you beat me at your place? Well, you're going to get me back at ours. And we saw what Wake did to Pittsburgh yesterday, what Virginia did back to Wake Forest last weekend, what Wake did to NC State. Wake played Duke checks watch 9 days ago. And Duke's going to go into the Joel where Wake hasn't lost this year. I can't wait to watch it. 2 o'clock game. Mitch Shaw told me he's bought 10,000 t-shirts, tie-dye shirts for the first 10,000 fans to walk in on Saturday.
what most interests you about Saturday, or is that TBD based on what happens tonight for Duke?
No, the number one thing already is, it's been solidified in my mind since pretty much last week, is how many minutes is Efton Reed going to play? Wake was +6 when Efton Reed was in the game for his 15 minutes in the game in Durham. And what did, they lost by 8, so they were 15, minus 14 without him.
That's right.
I mean, we've been saying he's the most important player to Wake. We have plenty of evidence of that. If you want to make the case for Hunter Salas, I'm not going to tell you you're wrong, but how that game is officiated is going to tell you everything, and who picks up the quick fouls. If it's either center between Efton or Flip, that's going to go so far in determining who wins.
Has Wake run, even if it's for a few possessions, have they run any zone this year? Any?
We were sitting right next to each other, and I thought they were in a zone last night, but I couldn't tell if it was just the way Pitt was lined up offensively.
Oh, I thought you said Pitt was in a zone. Sorry. But I mean, like, Wake Forest defensively, like, you'd think to protect Efton, like, that might be something that you at least consider.
Yeah. I
haven't seen Wake run any zone this year.
I haven't gotten Steve to go on the record with this, but I think he's pretty closely aligned with my theory that zone is for cowards. And
I get it's not what they're about, but Duke doesn't philosophically like running zone either. That doesn't mean that they're not going to sometimes.
They ran some zone last year and it worked, but I between both teams, I don't know if I've seen them play a combined 10 possessions of zone this year.
60-second version. Your level of concern about Wake Forest baseball, given how lofty the expectations are, and last year's team started 13-0 yesterday. Wake lost as the number one team at UNCG.
No, look, you're going to drop some midweek games. My concern is not with losing at UNCG. Every team loses midweeks. The concern is where their offense is, because two out of the three games over the weekend, they were not happy with their offensive approaches. And then on Sunday, they kind of broke through and scored 14 runs in 7 innings, and it was like, oh, this is a team that needs to put the ball on the ground. They need to put pressure in the run game. They need to bother pitchers with stolen bases. You thought they had it figured out there, and then they go kind of lay an egg and get 4 hits and really don't do much of anything at UNCG. So no panic. It's still midweek baseball. Weird things happen, but you're going to want to watch the Dayton series and see how Wake tries to score runs, because it needs to be different than it was last year.
Dayton won at +6 Vanderbilt last night, and I imagine people getting in early to town who are going to the Duke game Saturday will be at the couch Friday at 4:00. Connor O'Neill, I know you'll be there. I know you'll be at Duke and Wake Forest as well on Saturday. Thanks so much for making the time.
Thanks for having me.
Saturday afternoon last week at 2:00, I was thinking about our next guest. I was in the Smith Center and wasn't paying attention to starting lineups being announced. Instead, on my iPad screen, I was pulling up, I forget if it was ESPN2 or TNT because it was on both channels, Winston-Salem State at the same time as the Tar Heels playing, going up against Virginia Union, the NBA HBCU Classic that Winston-Salem State ended up winning. The proud Ram, who is also the sixth man of Tar Heel basketball, B-Dot, joins us now. How conflicted were you 2:00 last week? What are you doing during that time?
I got my parlays in for the Tar Heels, and I'm watching the WSSU boys on my iPad. Well, I may have it cast to my television. I'm not sure. But I remember watching the game. No. I was actually on the road. I was on the road. So to watch the game, the second half, coming back from an event actually in Durham at the Emily K Center. How crazy is that? I'm working at the Emily K Center at an event, which is a Duke facility, while Carolina's playing and Winston-Salem State is playing. It was very interesting.
Did you see any Duke basketball folks?
No, I saw their football team. A lot of their football guys came over. It's an event they have annually. Well, this is the second year for it. It's Bull City in Black, where it's a highlight on HBCUs and HBCU culture. And it's super dope to have it over there at the Emily K. Center, man. Big shouts to Duke for having that.
We're going to be in the DMV together for the ACC tournament in D.C., but also in the DMV is the CIAA tournament next week. For those who have never been to the CIAA tournament, what makes that different? What makes that fun?
It's premier basketball, man. The CIAA is one of the oldest black conferences. And, you know, when it has teams like Virginia Union, V-State, Johnson C. Smith, of course, my alma mater, Winston-Salem State University, the fans travel well. Some great basketball, as you were able to see if you took a chance to watch this past Saturday when two of our top teams, Winston-Salem State and Virginia Union, went head-to-head in front of the world for NBA All-Star Weekend. It was super, super dope. At nighttime, we like the party, okay? We like the party like HBCUs do. The games, of course, they're filled with cheerleaders and alumni and band. And it's just a great time, man. And you know, it's been in different places. I remember when I was a student, it was in Raleigh. It was in Winston-Salem. It's been in Charlotte. It was in Charlotte for a couple of years, and people got really, really spoiled and really enjoyed it there. And now that it's been in Baltimore the last couple of years, created a bit of a divide of people wanting to move around, but it's doing very well in Baltimore, and I can't wait to get there next week. I'm doing some fan fest stuff. It's going
to
be fun.
When we talked to Cleo Hill Jr. on Monday about the trip to All-Star.
The best decision Winston-Salem State has made in coaching in the past decade.
That guy, no doubt. And he was talking about the guys who took time with Winston-Salem State last Saturday, and the guys he highlighted were Steph Curry speaking to the team before. It was Luka Doncic, Kevin Durant, watching them during shoot around and spending some time with them as well. That's just stuff that's once in a lifetime. The fact that you win is great, but the NBA All-Star spending time with the Rams, that's pretty cool stuff.
And let me just for the audience, is like, why is this important? You know, like when we're growing up, a lot of times, and this is not just black kids, white kids, Asian kids, Hispanic kids, like, a lot of times we see the NC States, we see the UNCs, we see the Dukes, the Clemsons. You can go in any store and there's apparel all the time, but rarely do we see our HBCUs. And it's just awesome for them to sort of get some exposure so that, you know, so little brown boys and girls and little white boys and girls and Asian and Hispanic can see, hey, these are options too. So it's just great to get that exposure, man. So hats off to the NBA for, you know, showing that, shedding that light on HBCU culture. And shout out to my WSSU Rams for going up there and spanking on that Trojan arse.
Let's go to grammar school.
Josh Graham has his own way of speaking. And just when you think it can't get any worse, rah, 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 Josh is going to attempt to learn B-Dot's vernacular.
I'm
going to
put one in the air.
It's time for B-Dot's Grammar School.
Nobody better than B-Dot. Pre-game, during game, post-game.
Brought to you by Heritage Hardwood Floors. When it comes to flooring, they have no ceiling.
At Heritage Hardwood Floors. You already know, man, when it comes to flooring, they have no ceiling. Appreciate you.
Yeah, and if I'm trying to think, we gave away our Wake Duke basketball tickets a couple of hours ago, so I don't have that to bribe people with. There's a band called Bush that we have tickets for. So if you're a fan of them, shout out to you. If you want tickets, you could call us, or if you want to go see the ACCHL hockey tournament at the Winston-Salem Fairgrounds. Yeah, for the attempt, we'll give you some tickets. 336-777-1600. I can't remember, Dot. Was it the Daytona 500 or the Coca-Cola 600?
It was the Coca-Cola 600.
600.
The Coca-Cola 600.
The Coca-Cola 600 doesn't happen until later this year. But the Daytona 500 happened over the weekend, and we just got the ratings back, and the number one market for the Daytona 500 in the country was Greensboro, Winston-Salem. High Point, Charlotte is a racing city. I won't ask you who won the Daytona 500. Instead, outside of Charlotte and Daytona, can you name two other cities that have NASCAR tracks located there?
Talladega.
There you go. That's one. That's why I said two. I thought you could get Talladega. Can we get a second?
Indy.
Yeah. We'll take Indy. That's not NASCAR.
Yeah, we did. I mean,
because, you know, the Indy 500's absolutely not NASCAR, but that's a racing town. We'll take that for sure. But you probably would not have gotten Martinsville
North
I should have
got
Martinsville. I hear Martinsville a lot. It's one that starts with an R that's close to, isn't it?
Roanoke.
Oh, yeah, Roanoke.
Or Rockingham.
No, yeah, Rockingham. Yeah, Rockingham.
The Rockingham drag strip. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's Darlington that you could have gone with in South Carolina.
Bristol.
Bristol, for sure. So there are a lot of those. But it is a NASCAR race. There is a NASCAR race at the Brickyard every year, but people don't think NASCAR first. They think of the Indy 500 first. But you are correct. Okay. What do you have for me?
All right, so Josh, what I have for you are some of your favorites. We haven't had these in a while, but we're going to bring them back. Now, there was a list.
Acronyms? Are we doing acronyms?
Yes, we are. Now, there was a list that dropped, Josh Graham, and you cannot use WD because WD has seen these, okay?
Okay.
But there was a list. For example, if someone put STG, what's STG, Josh?
STG.
Come on.
This isn't even a freaking grammar school.
Come
this
on. Is just,
you should know this. STG.
No, I mean, this is just jogging my memory. What is STG?
You want me to tell him?
Yeah, this isn't a grammar school question.
No, at this point, it's a grammar
school. No, it's not. Like,
it's this is an extra round.
You know, it's warm ups. I'm not getting shots up the same way I would in a game. We're just trying to jog my memory. What's STG?
WD, let them know what STG is.
Please. Swear to God.
Swear to God. Okay. STG.
I'll give myself a bell.
Of course, that's what it is. Got it.
Or if one was OFC, Josh Graham. OFC. That's simple. That means what?
OFC. I thought of OFC stands for of course.
Exactly what it
there
means.
You
exactly
go.
What, yes, exactly.
See?
Yeah, these weren't the difficult ones yet. Jeez.
You're in trouble.
STG, this is tough.
Now, again, I'm testing you on these because a lot of times you're conversing through social media. You may be in the DM and you may have to use these. So, first, what is MBN?
I hate acronyms so much.
MBN.
M as in Mary, B as in boy, N as in no.
Yes. Watch yourself, it's Black History Month.
I was thinking about the South Park episode where there's in space, GG, the rest of that word,
right.
And it's people who annoy you. He's like, I don't know if I should say it. It was, and then he says it. It's like, no, it's supposed to be an A in that spot.
You have a nagger.
That's it. That's right. People who nag you. That's what we're going. Where's the Gary Hahn drop when you need it to get a?
Let's go to the sidelines, Tony Haynes.
That's actually very, very funny, Josh.
336-777-1600. MBN.
You know
sounds like a gambling service. Oh, I got the MBN up.
That's going to be the last difficult one I give you. Like, if STG stumped you, like, I should not be going to the three-pointers here. We should still be with the one-point free throw shot.
Who am I going to?
Artie in Thomasville.
Artie, please help me. What is MBN?
Somebody's going to go see Wake Forest play Duke this weekend. It must be nice.
Oh, must be nice. Thank you so much. That would be nice going to see Duke and Wake. I wish I had extra tickets for that.
Hey, this guy Artie, man, he gets it. Not only does he give you the answer, but he ties it into the show very creatively. Hats off to Artie.
Artie's invited to the cookout.
He is invited to the cookout. Must be nice. That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct.
So now I just got to get one of these last two in order to get a passing grade. Where's my bell at, though? Come on now.
Give Ms. Bell now. O-M-M.
O-M-M. So two M's.
That's what M-M would mean.
Right. Not to be confused with, oh my God. That was great.
I'm going to let the beat drop. Baby, let me love you down.
Will.i.am showing up with like the helmet on. That was great. Roller skating.
O-M-M.
I'm going to say on my mama.
And you're going to be correct, Josh Graham.
Yeah!
There you go.
On my mama. Going to get this right.
Your last one, Josh Graham. Two letters.
Two.
Y-T.
Come on now. This is my lane. This is YT. This would be a white.
I'm sorry, what is your answer, Josh Graham?
That it would be a white person.
That is correct. YT is white.
Well done.
Well done, Joshua Graham. Well done. Way to fight back at the end and get 3 for 3.
Let's go.
Not a good start on that warm-up.
It was a warm-up. That's it, man. Just getting, got to get some shots up. You've never had a bad warm-up before?
No, never.
No.
I'm pretty much a perfectionist. Like, I'm unflawed.
You ready to watch some beautiful basketball at JPJ this weekend? North Carolina going to UVA?
Yeah. It's always amazing when we go to UVA and play that fast-paced, big scoring basketball, isn't it?
They've scored.
I don't know, man. UVA be dropping buckets, but they also play defense. So I'm interested to see which Carolina team is going to show up, man.
They've scored 90 the last two games combined.
My bad. They were putting up points earlier in the season.
They were. Yeah. Are you all in on Carolina right now, or do you take a break when the CIAA comes and prioritize the Rams?
Yeah, it's people like to try to drag me for that. Like, I can't support both, right? Like, people don't understand. I was a Tar Heel fan before I was a WSSU fan. Again, when you're in elementary school, they bring the damn TV in the room for the ACC tournament, and you have to pick a team. Like, you have to pick teams for the ACC tournament.
When do you think the cutoff on that was? Like, when do you think people no longer had the TV carts? Not because people didn't watch on TVs, but we just didn't have, like, the TVs were all smart TVs and they were on, like, walls.
No, I think they still bring them big, stupid televisions in the classroom, Josh.
WD, did you have yours in High Point? Did they have TV carts or were they just on, like, a wall?
It was on a wall. Like, yeah. I remember when I was in elementary school, they had the big TV, like, in middle school.
But I had the TV cart roll in when I was in high school.
I was about to say, no, like y'all haven't been to some of these schools. Some of these schools still have the television strapped to the cart and they push them in the classroom. I kid you not.
Yeah, well, I hope that's right, because it was always the most exciting thing.
It was. You see that TV come rolling in there, you know what time it is, man. Mm-hmm. Let's go! It's no, like, class
it,
to
it,
me,
it,
baby.
It was always Georgia Tech and Clemson, it felt like.
That's so real.
Wednesday, here's Georgia Tech and Clemson at noon. Enjoy.
I remember my sports, one of my sports teachers, he was the biggest Clemson fan, graduated from Clemson, was a trainer at Clemson, proposed to his wife at a Clemson game. Big shout out to Coach Franks, man. I'll never forget that guy.
Dot, love you, man. I'll see you soon, but we'll talk next week.
Absolutely. Let's get to it. Y'all be good.
Sixth man of Tar Heel basketball. And I didn't know, maybe you didn't either, support that, what he's been doing each day during Black History Month. It's really cool to watch how that's grown.